We're going to continue where we left off last week on truth. And that connects right in with us doing communion here, because as we participate in communion, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." We are remembering, celebrating Jesus' body broken for us. Jesus also said, "I am the way, the truth, the life." And it's his truth, which is our bread, that we consume and become more and more like him. The verse we looked at last week, what do you guys see up there? Cookies? What kind of cookies?
Gingerbread.
And what do you think that mold makes? Gingerbread cookies. Can it make anything else? Can it make anything else other than gingerbread cookies? No. And so that's a reminder to us that if we allow ourselves to conform or let the world mold us into its image, what are we going to be like? The world, everybody else around us. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of our minds. What's the picture up there, kids? That's a monarch butterfly. Starts off as an egg, becomes a caterpillar, then becomes a chrysalis, cocoon, pupae, whatever you call it, hidden away. And in that hidden away, it goes away, goes from that. That's not an ugly caterpillar, may I say. It's quite a pretty caterpillar, right? But would you prefer to be that caterpillar, or would you prefer to be the butterfly there? Don't answer the question. Just think about it. You never know what you'd get. Which one would you prefer to be? And hidden away inside that cocoon there, the transformation, the metamorphosis happens. And that's a picture of what Paul is talking about here. Inside of us, as we allow ourselves, as we allow our minds to be renewed, to be renovated, that's the word used there, daily, constantly by the truth, we are transformed more and more and more into the beautiful likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right? Here's a verse. This is from Ephesians 4, 22 to 25. Throw off your old sinful nature. Now remember, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are new. However, as Paul says, we carry around in ourselves this old sinful nature in our bodies, in our flesh. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. That is what makes the difference. We looked last week at what is truth. What is truth? Truth is first and foremost Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So truth is first and foremost Jesus Christ himself. Truth is what God says, or what God said, or in other words, his word. Anything that God said is truth. Anything that God did not say is not truth. And I used this analogy last week. Somebody at some point in an audience pulled out a pistol and said, "Some of you may believe that there is a bullet in this pistol, and some of you may not believe there's a bullet in this pistol. Irrespective of what you believe, if I point it at your head and fire it, it will affect you." Okay? And many of us are affected by the world's view of truth, which is relativism or convenience or situational ethics. You know, what's the right thing to do? Oh, it depends. It depends on what the situation is. You know, there are no absolutes anymore. Everything is situational. And a lot of the time, we fall into that mode too. We go, well, they're entitled to their own opinion. They're allowed to believe whatever they want to believe. That is true. But what you believe affects you, and whether you believe the truth or not, the truth is still truth. And if you don't believe the truth, it's going to hurt you. And our job here as pastors, as elders in this church, and others called to minister to each other, and all of us together, our job is to tell you the truth, because we don't want you hurt. We don't want any of us hurt, right? And so we try to do that. We try to do that Sunday morning. We try to do that in our Bible studies. We try to do that every chance we get. That alone is not going to be enough. So let's start here. There is no truth without knowing Jesus. And I'll read to you a story here. I must tell you before I read the story, it's not a true story. A wealthy young man fell in love with BMW cars. As an expression of his devotion, he bought a manual for one of the current models. He so much enjoyed reading it that he decided to get up early each morning to read it more carefully, section by section. There were some sections that seemed particularly interesting. Those he underlined, sometimes with different colored pens. What seemed to be the more important sentences he began to memorize. In turn, there were a few lines he wrote out on small cards. He laminated them and put them on his mirror so he could see them when he shaved in the morning. There were other people in his area who also had BMW handbooks. Our young man joined a group of these folks who met once a week in each other's homes to study their manuals. They would each bring different editions of the manual to compare what they said about various aspects of the BMW car. In time, our young man decided it was time to go to the next step. He enrolled in a night course to study German. He wanted to be able to read the manual in the original language. Now, would you consider this young man an expert on BMW cars? Here's the amazing thing about this young man. He had never yet owned or driven a BMW car. You get the point? That sounds like what some of us do, or what some of us tend to do. Go to church, go to Bible study, women's group, men's group, whatever it is, small group. Go through the motions of studying the Bible, but at the end of the day, never really actually having any relational experience with Jesus Christ ourselves. And that will not help. You know, I was talking with Bob Noodleman, for whom we're having a memorial service this evening in the hospital. And he said, if you made me choose, and those of you who know Bob know how much Bob knows about the Bible and how well-read he is. He has a library of 18,000 books. Okay, just so you get the idea, 18,000 books. He has read, he has studied the Bible, and he was really upset that he couldn't be in Sunday school the last couple of weeks because he'd been researching and writing and preparing for a book on the Lord's Prayer, and that's what we've been studying. So he was really upset about it. But Bob said, if you gave me a choice between the Bible and Jesus, much as I love the Bible, I would have to pick Jesus. I can live without the Bible, but I cannot live without Jesus. Moment of silence there. Even the air conditioners agree. And that is the truth. I saw a cartoon once, and I haven't been able to find it again, of a Bible on an easel in a church building, and everyone bowing down, worshiping the Bible, while the Bible has an arrow that points Jesus this way. And sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we put the Bible in the place of Jesus himself, and put that in the place of having a relationship with Jesus. If you can't talk with Jesus, if you can't hear him, if you can't walk with him, if when you're in trouble or in joy or whatever, your first response is not to go to him and share it with him. If he's not your best friend, if he's not your heavenly father, you don't have a relationship with him. And truth starts with Jesus. Reading the Bible, going through the motions, doing everything else is a waste and will get you nowhere if you don't start with a relationship with Jesus. And at the end of the service, we will give us a chance to connect with Jesus if we haven't done that yet, or if we need to reconnect with Jesus. Secondly, the Spirit of God teaches us truth and helps us understand and assimilate truth. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, and I'm abbreviating it here, but this is What's he saying? He will not speak on his own, but will tell you whatever he receives from me. And we complicate it sometimes talking about the Trinity, God the Father, God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. We complicate it. The very simple fact is that we cannot live without God's Spirit helping us. You may call the Holy Spirit whatever you want. Please do not call the Holy Spirit it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. And God gave us his Spirit, Jesus said, to teach us. Gave us the Spirit to be with us, to be in us. That was the promise. That was God's eternal plan before the foundations of the earth, that we could be like him through his Spirit in us, working through us. Some of you have told me some incredible stories about your own lives and your own experience with the Holy Spirit. I'll tell a couple of them, and I will not use your names. If you are here and if you want to acknowledge that it's your story, you may raise your hand when I'm done. But if you don't do that, that's okay. One of you told me that you had been in church, grown up in church, lived your life as a Christian, done everything right, been baptized, was respected, well respected in church, got married, and somewhere there, leadership from the conference asked this person if they would take on a ministry role in another state. And this person told me that they went back home to think about it and were overcome, just undone, because he said, I realized that I had lived my life professing to be a Christian, but I hadn't really ever given all of my life to Jesus. I hadn't really ever been filled with the Holy Spirit. And he went back and told the leaders who had asked him, I can't do this. This is where I'm at. And then he prayed and told the Lord this, and his life was transformed. He gave himself to the Lord completely. His life was transformed. So much so that the person he worked with started noticing and asked him a little later, I've got to ask you, what changed? Something's different about you. And I'm probably not saying the story as well as you yourself can, but that's one story. It's another story I was told of a person who grew up in this church, was baptized at a very young age, had grown up as a Christian, but realized at some point that they were struggling in their lives, and at some point in church went forward and asked the Holy Spirit to fill them. And they said that after that, their life was never the same again. These are stories from here. These are stories some of you have shared. And these are stories that have encouraged me and that remind me frequently that we can go through the motions of following the Lord. We can go through, you know, reading our Bible, praying every day. But if we do not allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through us, there really is not going to be any change. It is the Spirit of God working in us who helps us through his power to fulfill his will. It is the Spirit of God working in us who helps us even understand truth, understand the Bible. We can't understand it on our own. Or we can try to understand it with our heads, but it doesn't connect with our spirits. It's the Spirit of God who helps us digest, assimilate, and make it part of ourselves, and then it shows in our lives and our practice. We cannot comprehend, we cannot practice truth without the help of the Holy Spirit. And this is, if you look at, you know, all the way from the beginning with creation, it's the same thing. It's the Father's will, the Father's character, God the Father, expressed through the spoken word, the truth of the Son Jesus, and made possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing in our own lives. When we allow God to work, God the Father, his character, his love, his will, through the spoken word of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit to manifest itself, we are transformed. We are different people. We are more like him. And so I would encourage you, if you have never really considered that, you know, when we were studying about the Holy Spirit in our men's Bible study some months ago, someone said that Brother Phil here at church had talked about the Holy Spirit a lot, but something he said had scared them about the Holy Spirit. So they'd always been a little wary of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. Same loving, kind Father. The Holy Spirit is the expression of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I don't leave you alone, but I leave you with my Spirit. It is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And without the Holy Spirit, it is not possible for us to do anything that pleases God. But with the Holy Spirit, remember, Paul says it's the same Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the grave. The same Spirit. He uses the word dunamos there, which is dynamite. The Holy Spirit is powerful like dynamite and more. And without that power working in us and through us, we cannot fulfill God's plans and purposes for us. Truth brings freedom. You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And here's another verse. I'm not going to go too much into detail on this. We'll cover this another day. It is true we live in a body of flesh, but we do not fight like people of the world. We use the things God gives to fight with, and they have power. Those things God gives to fight with destroy the strong places of the devil. We break down every thought and proud thing that puts itself up against the wisdom of God. We take hold of every thought and make it obey Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 10:3 to 5. We need truth to fight the spiritual battle we are in. And just to be clear here, the battle is already won. Jesus won the battle on the cross. And what we are in right now is a mopping up phase between now and when he comes back, when evil, Satan, will be removed completely. Until then, there's still mopping up going on. The enemy is still at loose. And you can say whatever you like, but I'd suggest it's much better for us to have our armor on and ready and facing the enemy than pretend nothing's happening and get shot in the back. Okay? When Jesus was tempted, how did he respond? In Matthew chapter 4. First temptation was, if you're really God, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus responds with truth from Deuteronomy 8:3. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The enemy tempts him again. The second time, the enemy actually quotes scripture to him and says, God says he'll command your angels to hold you, so throw yourself down. Jesus responds, God also says, do not test him. Truth. If Jesus himself had to use truth to battle the lies of the enemies, what do you think we are supposed to use? The primary weapon of the enemy against us is lie. The lie or deception. If he can get us to believe in a lie, and believe me, we all have lies that we believe. We all have lies that we believe. None of us knows and believes the entire truth. We all believe a little bit of truth. None of us knows or believes it all. Which is why it's important for us to continue to consume truth, to continue to encourage each other with truth, to continue to hold each other accountable to truth. And it's essential for fighting our battles. You know, there's been times in my life where we've been through struggles. And I won't tell you any stories right now, but there was one time where we took long drives out in the country. We'd get in the van and we'd just drive and drive and drive. And, you know, Priscilla at one point said, you know, why are we doing this? And I said, perspective. We take a drive. Nothing in the physical world changes by us taking a drive. But as we take a drive in the country and as I look around at God's creation, something inside me changes and I realize what is true. And when I realize what is true, my perspective changes, and that's all the difference. That makes all the difference. It doesn't, most of the time, you know, we're crying out to God and expecting something to change. And really what we need to change, or really what we need changed, is our perspective. We need our mind to move from deception, from lies, to the truth. And that makes all the difference. Pursue truth. We went over this some last week. Reading your Bible is good, but if we for ourselves don't have this attitude of curiosity like a little child, where we're constantly seeking, constantly trying to discover more, constantly searching for what is true, constantly hungry for more, we're not going to grow. Study it. You know, when I was a teen, I remember I decided I was going to read through the entire Bible because I didn't want somebody else telling me, you know, this is what the Bible says, and I didn't know if that's what the Bible says or not. So it's a good thing to read through the entire Bible. But sometimes it's more important how much of the Bible goes through you than how much of the Bible you go through. Okay? So if you've read through the entire Bible, I'd encourage you, spend more time studying than just reading fast. If you've already read through the whole Bible and you have a general overview of truth, I'd encourage study. Take little subjects and dig deeper and see, you know, what does God really say about this? And how does that compare with what I believe? How does that compare with how the world says it should be or what is true? And how then should I live? One of the things that I have really appreciated is our time in adult Sunday school on Sunday morning. Because it's not just one person talking, we get to learn from each other, we get to share, we get to learn. I've also appreciated our small group where we meet, and we've been going through the Gospel of Matthew for the last 3 years, yes. Katie Rogge will remind me of when we started and all of that, but I believe it's changing us. There's things we're able to challenge each other with as we go through this. There's perceptions that we're able to challenge each other with. We need more small groups. We only have one small group in our church right now. We need more. So if the Lord is laying on your heart to lead or host a small group in your home, would you please talk to Pastor Nevin or me or one of the elders? We need more small groups. We do have men's Bible study. We do have women's Bible study. We do have adult Sunday school, but not everybody is able to make it to every one of them or even one of them. We need more small groups. That's where a lot of life happens. Okay? Meditate on the truth, memorize the truth, and that's actually, I finished that subject already, discuss the truth. It helps when iron sharpens iron and we can discuss it among ourselves. Too often we fall into the Western mindset of it's I, me, myself, and God. And that's not how he intended it to be. We are supposed to grow together as his body, as parts of his body. We need each other to do that. So I challenge you, if you are not already connected with a group, it's the basic stuff in Acts chapter 2. The believers met together to worship the Lord, to study the scriptures and the apostles' teachings together. They shared with each other. They ate meals, had fellowship together. They prayed together. Five basic elements of church. It's nothing magical, nothing new. It's not the newest book that comes out on Lifeway. It's those five basic elements of church. And what happened? The result was God added to their number daily. Okay? A lot of the time we try to focus on what do we need to do to build God's church. That's not our job. We need to do what he wants us to do with ourselves first so that we are strong and we are growing and we are able to help others, help each other grow. So let's go back and wrap up here. Number one, Jesus is truth. And as we pray together here in closing, if you have never, ever entered into a relationship with Jesus, would you please pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are truth. And you said you are the truth, the way, and the life. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge I cannot live my life on my own. I need you. Lord Jesus, I give you my life. Would you come into my heart? Would you begin to change me? Would you forgive me of everything that I have done wrong? And for some of us, that may need to be a prayer that we repray that we've prayed before. And Lord Jesus, if we have all fallen away from you, so Lord, we all together commit to renewing our relationship with you, to renewing our relationship with you as Lord and Master of every area of our lives. And we acknowledge that you are the vine, we are the branches. We can do nothing without you.